looking at the mind and how the mind works. We've been looking at the fact that Isaiah 42:9, behold, former things have come to pass, now I declare new things. And those new things can be in so many different areas, and we've looked and covered lots of new things, and there'll be more that we're going to look into and cover. But we also have to realize that for new things to come into being, old things need to stop. And particularly when it comes to engaging these things, we need a new mind. So we need a new reality, a new consciousness. If we're going to be sons of God, we can't think like slaves or what we used to think like. Therefore, things have to change, and our thinking has to align with the truth. So I shared this last week. What reality are you living? And you actually do get a choice on what reality you're going to live. From whose perspective are you viewing that reality? Your own perspective or God's? If you continue looking at it from your own perspective, then your reality will remain unchanged and you'll keep getting what you've always got. If you look from God's perspective, which is a much bigger perspective, then there are all sorts of potential things that you can come into. So does your reality feel like a dream or a nightmare? And sometimes a mixture of both. But the reality is God wants us to see his dream for us so that we can align ourselves with it. Can you change your reality? Well, hopefully so, otherwise we're going to be stuck. And God wants us to see that change is not just possible, but actually it's without it, nothing will come about that God wants. So all reality or truth, if not seen through the perspective of the truth, and there is only one truth, and that's Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, will eventually become a nightmare. So it's really important that we start to actually begin to engage personally with Jesus so that we can see and feel and experience that truth in our own lives. So last week, I looked at the mind, and I shared testimony of how our minds are constructed from pillars of belief, value systems that have been built through the experiences of our lives. Things that have been imparted, some of them we know, and some of them they're just assumed. Those pillars form our worldviews and frame how we interpret the world around us. They are our conscious reality. And all of us have a conscious reality, the way we frame and see the world. And we see it very differently depending on what's happened in our lives and how we've been brought up, and the experiences that we've all had will determine how we see. So we can look at the same thing and see completely different realities when we look at it, because we see it framed by our own conscious understanding. And that means sometimes it's quite difficult to talk to people about the same thing because you're at cross purposes, even though you're looking at on the surface is the same, but it isn't underneath because of how we interpret what we see. So we see the world through a lens that filters life's experiences and gives us confirmational bias, that view that perpetuates the status quo. So in other words, when you see things, you tend to interpret them like you always have. And therefore, it will continue to reinforce what you already believe. So those pillars in our mind may be lies, our false representations of reality or truth. So if you keep seeing it from that perspective, you keep believing the lies. So how are you not going to believe the lies? And I said this last week, not by trying not to believe them. Because if you try not to believe the lies, you just focus on thinking about the lies. And the more you think about it, the harder it is to not think about it. So it's not a question of not thinking about something. It's about thinking about something new. And in fact, engaging something new that will actually transform what we believe, because our experience will begin to change. So we need to see things as viewed in comparison with the truth, Jesus, who's the only real true reality. So many of the constructs of my mind were religious. They were theology and doctrine, and they came because I was sent to Sunday school when I was 2 years old and carried on through my life have being around Christian things. And I had no idea of the things that I had sort of constructed my thinking around, because you just live, don't you? You live in the environment you live. Whatever that environment is, that begins to shape how you see the world. So mine were evangelicalism, sola scriptura, Greek thought, Hebrew thought, Augustinianism, and Protestantism. And those were the frameworks of my religious belief systems, even though I didn't know I had them. And I would have sworn that I didn't have them, but I did. And until God confronted them, they just were in the background shaping how I saw the world. But there were other ones beyond the religious ones. And so when I went into the educational system, or when I went into the work system, and then when I began to do things in my own life to meet my own needs, they began to shape things. So some of those things were from the DIY tree, the path of self, how I created things, defense mechanisms, coping mechanisms, to deal with life. So they were also scientific rationalism, cultural relativism, and humanism. They were three others that formed my whole world views. And then I started to engage God, and God started to challenge those things. So I ended up with a head explosion. Because God basically exploded those perceptions and changed how I viewed the world, because I saw him. And when I saw him, I realized I was believing lies, both about him and myself and the world. So God wants to give us a head explosion to renew our thinking from the truth. And it sometimes takes a traumatic event to change our thinking. Now, trauma is not always bad. So if God gives us a trauma, it can be a very good thing, because it will actually traumatize our mind to pull out some of those pillars. So when your mind is stretched by a big idea, it will never return to its original shape. Thomas Carlyle quote. So when you start to engage God, who is way beyond what we can imagine or think, it will change our minds. And when you encounter him not just through beliefs or intellectual understanding, but actually personal encounter, it cannot fail to change the shape of our thinking. So in my own perspective, once the first pillar was removed, which was evangelicalism, the whole theological belief systems that I had began to crumble. And that was quite difficult at the time, but really good. So all the doctrines, the theological positions, not reflecting God's love, began to be exposed as lies. They began to be exposed by the light of truth. And so many things I thought I knew, I realized that I didn't. I just had a intellectual understanding. I never experienced that in the way God wanted me to. So I began to see things I never saw before. And they're there. They're just invisible to you, because your construct doesn't allow you. It filters them out. And it filters it out. So if you have a red filter over your eyes, what does it filter out? Red light. So you can't see the same thing as other people see. So I couldn't see certain things, even though they were there as plain as day, the truth, I couldn't see them. But how many of us have those filters, those veils in place, that we can't see the plain truth, even though it's there right before us? All of us, in reality. And God wants to change that. So that actually you can connect with the truth. And I saw and connected with people that were sharing some of the same things and views that God was now bringing into reality to me, that I never saw before. I never connected with them before, even though they were posting things on my Facebook wall all the time, never saw them. As soon as God unveiled some things, all of a sudden I could see other people were saying some similar things, that they're on the same journey. And now I've connected with some of those people, and that's been a helpful thing, because we can sort of share some of our journey and perspectives and how we get where we got. So sort of long-held beliefs were challenged by the experiences of God's love that encounters and engaging with him brought. So my whole relationship with God began to change as my filters were removed, and I started to see things through the lens of love, because God is love. And when we come to look at a new perspective of who God is himself, and we'll do a whole series on that, we will need to see everything coming through love, because God is love. So when we see him do something on the surface that doesn't seem to be love, then our thinking about it must be wrong, because he is love. And he can't be anything else other than love. And love always wants the best, never the worst for people. And that will begin to change some of our perspectives. So I asked, when God was doing this, well, what's going to replace that construct in my mind? Because I thought, well, if I don't have anything there, what's it going to be like to have an empty head? You know, well, this is what he said. Son, let me form the pathway of the tree of life within the construct of your mind. Oh, great, because I've engaged the tree of life and the fruit and all the things, a fantastic place. So, wow, that's going to be something that engages. let me reform and connect the ancient past within your brain so that your consciousness will become unrestricted and your creative potential will not be limited. Oh, great. You know, I must plant new roots within your mind that will be able to flow from the eternal source. Let them be entwined as the pathways to truth. So God was basically saying that he was going to do something which was not a construct, which was but something more organic and something relational, which is going to flow out of me engaging in the source of life himself. So what he said, as the living word, my relationship with you now can be the first pathway that will become a trunk that supports life. And I felt this root system of truth begin to form deep in my mind. It's like I felt it. I sensed that something was changing in the how my mind worked, that then I could see things from a different perspective and a different reality that I couldn't before. Not that I didn't want to, but I just couldn't with these constructs in place. So then you have this sort of tree of life picture, and this picture represents different spheres that connect in the tree of life, and you see this shape, and I know some of you have encountered this shape. Another version of that is that shape. It's sort of like, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's a shape which is that elongated thing there. If I knew what it technically it was, it's not a heptagon or an octagon, maybe a septagon. But this whole tree of life perspective has different aspects to it that bring reality, truth, intelligence, wisdom, beauty. All those things are someone's perspective of what happened when they began to engage the tree of life. Now, it may be totally different for you, because when you eat the fruit of that tree, it's what we all need rather than necessarily what we think. And so when you engage this, it will begin to change your whole perspective and how your mind works, as it has done for me. Because actually, we've got so much in there that needs to come out. And God has given us the power to affect our reality. But we can only affect it if we're coming from a perspective of truth and not the lies that we already believe. Otherwise, we'll keep getting what we've always got. And that's the problem with thinking. You don't know that you're thinking that way. You just do. So why is this deconstruction and renewal so important? Acts 3:20 says this, and he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his prophets from ancient time. So God wants to restore things back to its original blueprint design. And if we see things the way we've always seen them, then that will be impossible. So if we're tasked with being part of that restoration as co-heirs in the kingdom, we can't do that with the limitations that exist in our thinking, which is why God wants to renew our minds from a completely different perspective. So we're not going to fix the problems with the same DIY method that created them. There has to be a new way. So we're not going to build embassies of heaven on earth like they did in the Tower of Babel, where they built a tower with man-made bricks and tar and stuff to make a name for themselves. So what we're doing is not going to be for ourselves. It's going to be for the whole of creation. So we will have the ability to construct organically. So most technology that you see is a copy of something that God has made in creation. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. So I'm going to fly tomorrow in an airplane. That airplane is not something that didn't exist before. The principle was there in birds. And the reason airplanes fly is because of the shape of their wings, which are copied from the shape of birds' wings, which create lift. So when people invented an airplane, they were just copying something that God had put into creation. And virtually everything that we've done, you can find in creation that God is already there. But God wants us to go beyond what's already there into things which are not there at the moment. So we will have the ability to construct things with organic technology, if you want to put it that way, or using quantum reality, being able to call things that we can't see into existence, which is going to be really creatively fun. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Well, it's still groaning. So what they're seeing at the moment isn't the fullness of our sonship. So we need to be matured into sons. That creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption. In other words, it is getting worse. Into the freedom of the glory of the children of God, which will make it better and restore it to its original purpose and condition. Let's look at that in the Mirror Bible. His spirit resonates with our spirit to confirm the fact that we originate in God. Because we are his offspring, we qualify to be heirs. God himself is our portion. We co-inherit with Christ. Since we were represented and included in his suffering, in other words, what he did on the cross, for us, as us, with us, we equally participate in the glory of his resurrection. So when he was raised from the dead, we also are raised from the dead and brought into life. We just have to discover what that life fully is. Verse 19, our lives now represent the one event every creature anticipates with held breath, standing on tiptoes, as it were, to witness the unveiling of the sons of God. Can you hear the drum roll? All creation knows that the glorious liberty of the sons of God sets the stage for their own release from decay. So this is really important, that we come into our sonship, because God has chosen us and giving us the responsibility. He isn't going to do this for us. He's doing it with us, but not for us. We are co-heirs and work with him. So we need to come to a place where we actually see our responsibility for the whole of the creation, the whole of the cosmos. Verse 22, we sense the universal agony and pain recorded in history until this moment. We ourselves feel the grief echo in their groaning within us, while we are ready to embrace the original blueprint also of our physical stature to the full consequences of sonship. What we already now participate in as first fruits of the Spirit will bloom into a full gathering of the harvest. I love that. It's a very poetic sort of version, but it expresses something of the very heart and nature of God, that he wants us to come into the fullness of our original design and blueprint, that shall bring the whole of the cosmos back into that place to see the fullness of God's desire released in it. So God loves the whole cosmos, but that cosmos is waiting for us to mature as sons. Sons who know the truth, the full reality about their Father and themselves. So we need to see God as he truly is, so we can see ourselves created in his image. Because if we see him as a negative, then we then begin to operate negatively. And God wants us to come from a perspective of love all the time. So the illusions and delusions must be exposed so that we can be unplugged from this false reality that we're living in. So Jesus, the truth, the second Adam, as the Bible describes him, desires to remove the limits placed on us by the first Adam to restore us, conform us to our original eternal blueprint. Every one of us, without exception. There is no one left out from this, because Jesus reconciled the whole world to himself on the cross, made it possible that every single person that's ever lived and ever will live can come into a relationship with him if they embrace Jesus and come through that door into a relationship with the Father. So that will restore abilities to engage bandwidths of electromagnetic energy and abilities that were lost at the fall and the flood and Babel. And you can see, if you read the Bible, that certain things happen and change things at certain points in history when God intervened because of there was danger in what we were doing. Now God wants to restore it because we're now back into relationship. So the only truth that I'm conscious of and know by experience will set me free. This is the reality. It's not intellectual things that's going to bring freedom to our lives. If we're going to be free from being tethered to the earth, the physical realm, and be under its rule and bondage and suffering that same groan that our spirit can have if we're stuck in these things, we need to engage the truth. The truth desires to release us into the glorious freedom of our sonship as co-heirs of the kingdom. That is the whole purpose that Jesus wants to engage us to bring us into the fullness of everything, an abundant, overflowing life. Whereas what does the devil say? What he wants to do, because he's the father of lies, says in John 10:10, to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to bring abundant, overflowing life in its fullness. And that's what God wants to bring us into. So, freedom from addiction. Can you see that reality? Because if you can't see it, then you're never going to engage it. Freedom from sickness, pain, and disease. Can you see that reality? Freedom from rejection, fear, insecurity, poverty, every bondage and limitation. Can you see those realities? Because if all you see is what you've already got, then you're going to be stuck. So we have to see new realities, freedom from the things that have held us in bondage. And as we begin to focus on those realities as we see them in Jesus, it will change our thinking and free us from the limitations which restrict us to always getting what we've always got. So if we can't see those truths, then they can't manifest in our lives. So we need to start seeing something from a different perspective, God's perspective. John 8:32, you will know the truth. Now we know means by personal experience and not just intellectual knowledge. And the truth will set you free. It's inevitable if you get to know the truth that you will become free. But we have to know the truth. And it says in verse 36, who the Son, the truth, sets free will be free indeed. So it's only the relationship with the Son, Jesus, that can set us free. So we can be free from the chains of time and space and all the dimensional restrictions of the matrix of our belief system and mindsets. Everything that holds us in bondage, we can be free from. Free to fly untethered and unrestricted. Because, I don't know if you've ever had flying dreams or you've ever flown in the spiritual encounters with God, but they're amazing things. I flew in the garden of my heart once. I've flown, and you see things from a complete, you feel free. You know, like birds when they just fly and the winds just take them and they flow. There's a freedom to that that God wants us to experience in our own lives. So there can be many realities, and most of us are living them, but there's only one truth. The truth, once perceived, may not always be to our taste, of course. You know, sometimes it begins to be a challenge to our lives. It may not always be convenient or pleasant, because it does mean change. Because the truth will never allow us to stay the same. It will always confront that unreality or lies that we believe and live in. It may require sacrifice and discipline, but it will always bring us into freedom. The question is, are we willing to pay the cost to let go of those things and embrace something new? When we turn from the truth, sometimes you can see something, you can have an experience, but you don't follow it through. If you turn from that, and you return to those sort of pseudo-realities, the things that you once believed, it's either because you fear the hardship and responsibilities that freedom brings, because there's a challenge to it, or we lose sight of the higher purpose, and we just look at ourselves. And both of those things can be true. So it's not guaranteed that even if you have an experience, that you're guaranteed to follow it unless you choose to and embrace the reality of it. If we're not unplugged, we will find the truth unpalatable hard because of our DMI mindsets. Those mindsets can even stop us believing. I remember once I was ministering with somebody and we saw some legs grow when we were into growing legs. You know, years ago, we used to engage and see people's legs grow and see the people's whole balance change and their structure of their body change because we were seeing legs grow. And we saw this grow, and this leg grew like 3 inches. It wasn't just like a half inch that you sometimes saw and hoped by pulling a bit. But actually, it was actually reality. 3 inches grew on this person's leg. And afterwards, the person who was there with me, next day I saw them, and they said, did that actually really happen? And they'd allowed unbelief to rob them of what they actually even saw, because it didn't fit into their mindsets. And that can happen all the time if we go back to the way we've always thought. That's why we need an explosion to pull those things out, so there's no way of going back. So if we can't perceive the eternal realm, because we're citizens of heaven, we're going to remain confined and tethered to the earthy DIY version of reality. We have to see it from a heavenly perspective. That's why it's so important that we go beyond the veil, where we go into where we're seeing from heaven's perspective, when we stand in the four faces of God and we see through the eyes of the lion or the ox, the eagle and the man. because we're seeing, therefore, things from a different perspective. So earthbound, restricted, and living in a carefully constructed illusion that limits us to being mere mortals, unable to change anything or fulfill our destiny, will be what happens if we're stuck here, looking the way we've always looked. And we will be in bondage to many things. 2 Corinthians 2:4 says this, "In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they may not see the light of the gospel, the good news, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So there's a possibility of being blinded, veiled, and therefore we remain in unbelief. Are you blinded by the world's DIY system? And this is something we all have to ask ourselves. Whose reality are we living in? Because the devil will create a reality for us, which will restrict us. So much supernatural truth has been veiled and perverted by the New Age movements. And this has put it off limits to us by the religious spirits operating within the old order religious systems will say you can't touch that. That's the New Age. The New Age didn't invent anything. They just twisted and perverted what God did and counterfeited it for their own ends. The soul, in the power of the soul. So much of that truth is there. We need to recover that hijacked truth so that we can come back into the reality of sonship. Because those things are there. As I talked about a few weeks ago, Jesus did things by the power of his consciousness and controlled reality by his choices. He wants us to do the same. We need to discover truth to enable us to do that. All truth is from God because he is the only truth. There are many things that are facts that may not be from God, but the things that are actually the truth are there. But some of those things have been veiled because of the deception of others. We need to remove those veils so we can see the actual truth. The Matrix. The Matrix is my favorite film. It's a modern parable that reveals that truth can free our minds. So I'm going to give you some quotes, my favorite quotes from The Matrix, and go through some of that, how it can relate to us now. This isn't a quote, but when you think about this, you are here today rather than somewhere else, I guess, because you know something has to change. Because this is not a very comfortable environment for people who don't want to change. You know that you can't keep walking the same path and expect it to take you somewhere else. You know, that's the truth. You know, so something has to give. Something has to change if we are going to change. So, wake up, Neo, the Matrix has you. Let me tell you why you're here. Now, this is a quote, Morpheus. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. Now, that was what I felt like, because I was always looking for the truth. And I never found it. I was still looking for it. The old U2 song, I still hadn't found what I was looking for, but now I have. And I tell you, it's much better than the reality I was looking at before. Neo, actually, who was the one, it means new. The word means new. Neo is an anagram of one. And we're all the one. Each of us uniquely designed and chosen as a son of God. Every one of us is the one from God's perspective, a son. Knowing this truth will set us free. It's time to wake up from the nightmare that's kept us locked in unreality. This is my quote, but this is how I see life and how God wants to change it. This is your last chance. After this, there's no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. If you want to stay in unreality, keep thinking the way you do. You take the red pill and you stay in Wonderland and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Now this rabbit hole goes deep. It's taken me into places and things that I couldn't have imagined or even thought. And that is for all of us to go deeper and deeper, because what is it? Deep calls to deep at the sound of the waterfall, at the sound of God's voice, calling us to come deeper and deeper into reality with him. Neo, sooner or later, you're going to realize, just as I did, this is Morpheus speaking, that there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. A lot of us know things intellectually, but walking it out requires a different life. You have to let it all go, Neo. Fear, doubt, disbelief, free your mind. Think of God saying that to you. I'm trying to free your mind, Neo. Think of God saying this rather than Morpheus. But I can only show you the door. You're the one who has to walk through it. Jesus is the door. But you have the choice whether you walk through that door or not. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. See, I can just share what I've seen and give you a testimony of my experiences. But that's just mine. They're second-hand information to you until you may be inspired to pursue in your own life so you can see what it is for yourself, that you can see what those constructs in your own mind are. The question is, are you willing to look? What is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can feel, what you can smell, what you can taste and see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain. Morpheus. Or God talking to you. Don't think you are, know you are. What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets? Morpheus. No, Neo, I'm trying to tell you when you're ready, you won't have to. No matter what any enemy fires at you, if you know the truth will stop bullets. It will stop the fiery darts of the enemy. It will stop all those lies. It will stop all the things that we've been restricted and hindered by. But you have to know the truth. That truth can free you from addiction, fear, bondage, to anything. There is no spoon. Do not try and bend the spoon. That's impossible. Instead, only try to realize the truth. What truth? There is no spoon. Then you'll see that it's not the spoon that bends, it's only yourself. So when we see things from a different perspective, reality changes. That's what that's saying. You can change your reality if you see it from a different perspective. The matrix is everywhere. It's all around us, even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that's been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. Think about your own reality and think what you're living in. Neo, what truth? Morpheus, you're a slave. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, into a prison you cannot taste or see or touch, a prison for your mind. On the DIY path, we all died in Adam. But we're all made alive in Christ, and we can come into a whole new reality of truth. The matrix is a system, Neo, that system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what you see, businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of people we're trying to save. We can think of the world and all those people that are being blinded to the gospel by what? The veils that the enemy's put over their lives. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so injured, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Don't be one of those. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. Free your mind and be welcome to the real world. Nosce te ipsum, know thyself, which was on the wall when Neo went to see the oracle. It was a representation of the knowledge of God that will actually reveal ourselves by knowing who we are, not just believing lies. And there's another phrase. Tu ipse esto, be yourself, the true self as a son of God. That's what we are being called to engage in, the true self of who we are. You know, allow God to unveil this stuff. The reveal is the construct of deception that's robbed us of this true reality of who we are. And we've lived with that pulled over our eyes in a world that actually isn't real. So when it comes to know the truth, we can experience that true reality. So true reality is not what we've come to know through our earthly experiences. Therefore, we have to be been living in an illusion veiled as reality. We just see what we see until something challenges that and shows us something different. So what is your reality? Is your reality shaped by what you've experienced and what you've seen? Can you trust what you see? There are a lot of scientists who believe that this reality behaves like a holographic projection. So what are you really looking at? Is your truth relative or absolute? Because it will be relative to your situation if you're seeing it from your own perspective. It becomes absolute when you see it from God's perspective. So our consciousness is a series of electrical impulses in our synapses passing along neural pathways that our brain interprets as thoughts. Everything that you receive, whether from the physical realm or the spiritual realm, functions this way. We've learned to interpret those signals. Most of our signals we've learned are the physical ones, our eyes, our ears, our taste, our touch. But there are spiritual ones like being able to see into this realm and see angels and all those things we can also learn to do. We can also use those signals, that our consciousness, the world of matter and energy, actually responds to us when we learn to focus those signals. Now, this is not me just making this up. This is scientific fact, and you can look at that. So everything depends on the perspective you're looking at it from. Your consciousness has the ability to affect energy and matter from a quantum perspective, the things you can't see with your physical eyes but exist. But you can actually use those things to change things. So light, which is the way we see anything, is an energy wave that carries the potential to become a matter particle depending on the thought of the viewer. So the way you view things, actually, light knows and actually responds to, which is pretty bizarre, but then most quantum things are bizarre when we look at them from our normal way of seeing things, from a relative perspective. So the truth may be beyond what I can presently imagine or think. But God wants to take us beyond. So renewing our mind is the expanding of our consciousness to know our true potential. He chose the foolish things to confound the wise so that we would know that it's only through Jesus the truth. And the world, because it's not about how we are intellectually, whether we've got a degree in quantum physics or a degree in theology or a degree in anything, or whether we don't know anything and can't even read or write. It's irrespective from God's perspective to whether we can operate in the sonship and the power of our conscious reality and our thinking. Because it isn't about the wise things of the world, because if we lean to our own understanding and the wisdom of our own eyes, we're going to carry on getting the DIY results that we've got. So our minds need to be enlightened. Ooh, isn't all that weird New Agey stuff? Well, why? What's wrong with enlightenment? Being illuminated by the light of truth? Jesus being the light. God is light. So that all the vast sum of God's thoughts about me that reveal that I'm a son of God, created in his image with a destiny to rule the universe with him, that's what we need to see and engage with those thoughts. That truth will unlock our true potential of sonship, and that creative image that we've been made will release our creativity. Ephesians 5:14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. And this is what resurrection is, being brought from death to life, into real life. Waking up to knowing the truth as a person will set us free to be who God intended us to be. It will challenge your present perception of yourself, without a doubt. So we can know the truth from God's perspective, align ourselves with that thought, then we can see ourselves free from addiction. We can see ourselves free and healed from pain and disease. We can see ourselves loved, accepted, affirmed, significant, as God made us to be. So our conscious thought has quantum power. The universe responds to the focus of our consciousness. We have the mind of Christ, therefore the capacity for the greater works beyond what he just did on earth. And those were good enough. But think of all the beyond, because you can't, though, can you? Until you engage beyond. You can't think about it because you've never been there. Until you see it in him. It's time we embrace the potential possibilities of who we are because of who he is. One of the core principles of quantum physics is the idea that reality, the photons that produce the light illusion that we occupy, exist in infinite possible states, i.e. many worlds scenario. Until we observe it and thus collapse all the potential versions of reality into one single option, we've chosen to live inside. That is quantum physics. It's science. It's not hokey pokey spooky stuff. It's science. We just never learned to use how to do that, how to do it in reality. The truth is there, but we're not using that truth. So consider you're sitting on your settee one day and you're suddenly struck with the idea to do something different. You're suddenly faced with a decision between infinite permutations of reality. You could do infinite things for where you sit. As you weigh things up, you start to focus on those things and they become more likely to occur. So the things you start to think about actually begin to shape what is going to happen, what you're going to do. Now think about this in different perspectives. You could go to the toilet if you're moved to do so. You could turn the light on. Some of you missed that one. You could walk outside, you could go to the kitchen, you could turn the TV on, you could turn your computer on, your phone on, you could engage those things. You have a choice. You could go to the off license. Some of you, that's a pretty negative choice. You could go into your dealer. That would be a very negative choice. Past rewards and memories can begin to drive us towards the choice of what you've had before. And this is the problem that we get caught up where we don't take captive our thoughts and align them with the thoughts of Christ, when we allow our thoughts to take us down paths that we've been before, and we start cultivating those thoughts, and they bring reality, a reality most of the time you don't want. You can immerse your consciousness into any reality you want. You must decide which action you take. You must make a choice on which reality you want to observe at the cost of becoming blind to all the other options. And that's what happens when we get driven by a compulsion to do something. We fixed on it and it becomes compulsive and it's very difficult to see any options of the way out unless you learn a different way of viewing these things and engaging. So compulsive behavior is driven by our past choices and they can overwhelm us if we don't see things from a different perspective. As soon as you select a reality and move towards that observed choice, suddenly, and this is what happens, the photons around you blur and shift. You can't see it because they're at an unseen level, but this is what's happening. They blur and shift as you pull yourself deeper into that reality. The options you didn't select, however, now fade out of conscious thought, out of observation, and thus begin to experience quantum decay. The likelihood as you continually move away from them in pursuit of the selected reality you've chosen. So it's less and less likely you can pull yourself out of something at that point because they are in motion and you are putting into motion. You can't see it physically, but it's occurring in the realm around you. You're creating a reality. Most of the time, those realities are not something you want to end up in. But when we start to see reality from a different perspective, from God's, they can take us beyond anything we've ever experienced before. That option which you did select, what happens? The photons are now becoming more vivid, turning from an abstract imaginary choice into tangible forms that you can interact with. Whether it's the light switch, the TV, the toilet, drink, drugs, or any image that you see, those things will become a reality that then you create history. It's happened. Now, fortunately, God can walk us back into history and undo the damage that's been done and heal us and restore us and make us whole. So it's not that it can't be solved, but better not to go there in the first place. So this concept is the fact that your internal consciousness, the synapses, chemicals manipulated by your thoughts, can alter the physical photons that surround you. That is truth. That is scientific truth. It's also how God does things. Whose reality do you want to create? And from what source do you draw on to choose that? God or your DIY? If you're choosing from your past, you may be hiding your passion and creativity because you're afraid you may not be good enough. Because someone said you'll never be good enough. And that can affect you, and you can be operating according to that lie. Because you choose to follow that path. Such as not doing art because someone said you're bad at it at school. Now, there is huge potential in this room that's been restricted because of what people have said and of experiences you've had in your life. Don't be robbed by those things. Not pursuing a passion because someone said it was a silly pastime would never make you money. Yeah, we can be driven by choices which are denying our creativity. Agreeing to plans you don't really want just to fit in. Staying in a job or a relationship that doesn't fulfill you because you need the money. These are things that happen to us when we make choices based on where we've come from. Not taking the time to look for other jobs for fear of switching to something new. Some of you are stuck where you are because you're afraid to go beyond where you are. And some of you have done this and have changed where you are by seeing potential and going for it. And now you're in a different place than where you were before. Not going after jobs that would make you happier because they're not as financially stable. See, these are mindsets. Well, I need to do this. I need to have the Protestant work ethic that will keep me into looking after the family. Great, but actually, maybe God has something beyond your imagination, which will bring blessing to you beyond comparison, but you're stuck in where you are. Pursuing relationships that you know aren't healthy because you don't want to be alone. These are ways of thinking that will trap us. So our present reality is controlled by the program of our past experience and knowledge. Our future reality will continue to be a self-perpetuating fulfillment unless we see a new heavenly reality perspective, which is why I focus on seeing things from a heavenly perspective so much, because it frees us from the earthbound. If you decide to escape your own source, you have the power to envision a future reality that doesn't currently exist. Because none of them exist, do they? They're all potential. But you might have a better reality if you start looking at it differently. So rather than simply choosing from an already existing menu you wish to engage with, you can instead create a new photon forms that never existed and inject them into your reality. Sounds interesting when you look at it from that perspective. So we have this incredible ability called the imagination, the ability to mentally envisage a thing or a concept and then summon it into reality. We all have that ability. Every one of us has been given an imagination to change reality we live in. Do you use it? Is the question. So all things you see today and in this room and around, buildings, cars, planes, tables, chairs, computers, even the clothes on our bodies, they're all physical items that we now choose to interact with, and they originally only existed as thought forms inside someone's head, in their mind. Everything. Because one time, none of this existed. And it now exists because someone used their imagination and chose to create it. Now think of what you can do to change things that are not existing now and bring new things into being by choosing to use your imagination and not be limited by what already exists. They were all once inert pieces of quantum possibility floating in the abstract realm of human imagination until someone came along and had the means to choose to pursue their creation. Let that person be you. What reality are we waiting to create? What are we creating? What do you want to create? Think of it. Think of the possibilities. This is how God did things. Just in case Some of you are thinking I made all this up. This is what God says in the Word. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So everything you see was once invisible. Romans 4:17, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, or in the Young's literal translation, and is calling things that be not as being. So if God did that, and we're made in his image, then what are we supposed to do? Call things that aren't as they are. So see them and call them into being. And looking at everything we need in our lives right now, all that we're doing through the church and the projects we do, what do we need to start calling into existence that is not existing yet, but is a possibility and a desire of the heart of God that we can connect to and begin to say, be. God said, let there be light. And there was light. He saw, he said, and he saw. What are you seeing? And what are you going to say? And what are you going to see? Because we're called to do this the way God did, to draw out of that quantum realm and use the energy of that quantum field, which is non-local, to bring it into locality. We can do that by choosing to observe it and engage it and create it. So from whose perspective are you viewing yourself? And I'll guess this little picture. The tree of life in our brain, in our consciousness, gives us the capacity to do amazing things beyond what we could imagine or think when we have God's heart and we're connected to it. And when you look at that picture, I would encourage you to meditate on something like that. Look at what's there that you can create. Look at all the amazing things that you can effectively administrate in the kingdom as sons. And be more than what you think you are. Be what God says you are. Then you can start to see a new reality. You can create a new observation. If you're going to perpetuate that reality you're living now based on your past experiences, you're just going to get the same. And the same tends to get worse, actually, because it's in corruption and decaying and gets worse. We want things to get better, to be restored. So that whole quantum wave collapses. It's caused by observation called popping a quiff. That's the technical term. And this is a guy who said this. You can observe a gob quiff. Something God shows you that is not yet real in this dimension, and by observing or popping that quiff, cause the potential to become your reality. Information flowing from your future possibilities is waiting for you to see, to observe, and call those things that are not as if they are. The quantum leap of knowing your purpose and assignment is waiting as a God quiff for you to pop. David Van Kuvering, who wrote Elsewhen, a book or a manual of how to think this way and do this. So God has dignified men by giving him free will to choose and create his own reality aligned to those choices. Those choices made independently of God have created the chaotic DIY state the world now exists in. They're created without the reference point of love. So when we're reconciled and restored in relationship with God himself, our minds can be renewed. This opens up the potential possibilities that we're able to access the eternal mind of God, the mind of Christ. Then our future reality can be aligned from an eternal godly perspective. And that is constantly in the now for God. And it can be for us. So continuing to use your DMI methods of drugs, alcohol, pornography, food, relationships, religious works, or any substitute, that addiction to DIY will keep us in bondage. Choosing another future, seeing another reality, seeing your freedom, and from a God's perspective, your destiny will begin to bring change. Quantum observation, quantum entanglement, quantum tunneling, quantum faith, all these things exist. We just have to start using them. Let's be creative sons of God, not limited by our DIY past, to create a better future for us, for this whole created order, so we can bring it back into being. All of creation has its eyes fixed, looking for true sons to be revealed. They're looking at us. Everything is looking at us, waiting. Will you be one of those sons? Will you accept this call? Will you embrace your destiny? Will you accept his yoke, which is easy, and his burden, which is light, and learn from him the truth to be gentle and humble in heart? He's calling the sons of God to arise. Are you going to respond? So I want to just finish off with a brief exercise as we so normally do at this point. And I want to encourage you to allow God to begin to change the limited perspectives that you have. Allow him into your head. Allow him into your mind. Allow him into your life. Don't be restricted by what's happened. Allow him to change that. So I encourage you to close your eyes. Jesus is here. He promises to be in the midst when we gather, and he's waiting to engage you. Invite him. Choose that reality, that possibility that Jesus will meet you right where you are, right where you're sitting, in what you're doing, and ask him to unplug you from the matrix which is limiting your mind, those constructs. Invite him to expand your reality, to expand your consciousness, the awareness of who you really are. Let the truth free you to know true reality. Let him begin to renew your mind by revealing the truth of how much he loves you. Let him show you that he accepts you, that his desire is to bring healing and wholeness and health into your life, to unveil your destiny. Let him take you flying beyond the present limitations of your mind. Let him take you outside of your present boundaries. Let him show you an eternal reality. Let him reveal your true eternal identity. Just let him take you and lead you and open up this reality to you. Invite him into the pillars of your mind to explode them and remove them. Just spend a few minutes just engaging with him. again, just see this as an introduction to what is a process that can continue to grow and develop as you spend time meditating in the presence of God and allowing God to unveil to you the truth. Allow Him, be proactive, invite Him, so that you can have a reality which aligns with your eternal destiny, so you can become free from whatever's holding you in bondage. Who the Son makes free is free indeed.